Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host.
Today, we welcome a fabulous woman, Darina Vane, a feng shui practitioner with years of experience helping individuals and companies knowingly create balance and harmony around them. She's also an amazing tango dancer. Yes, she is. And she was my inspiration to actually take tango lessons with Olivier, where I almost dislocated my shoulder because I refused to be led. And she is so much more, whom I came across a few years ago in The Hague. And I am really delighted to have you here, Darina. I see you do a lot of good stuff. So can you start maybe with sharing a little bit about who you are, what you do, and mostly, you know, why do you do this?
Yes, thank you, Julie, for having me and also for telling about my tango, because that is my passion, a second passion. My first passion is feng shui and my work. I really love what I do. So what I help my clients is to design and arrange their homes and workspaces in harmony and balance.
Yeah, now we're going to get into that, into exactly what feng shui is, how it works. But tell us a bit about you, Darina. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm originally from Slovakia.
Right.
And how I got to Holland, I did exchange study at the Technical University in Delft, building physics. We come to that as well, because that is my background, which is also connected with what I now do. And there was on a chemical engineering was a very handsome Dutch man. At that time, I didn't know he would become my husband, but we just became friends. So we went out jogging together to the Delfshout Lake and just had nice friendship. And who knew, 4 years later, we got married. And then I moved to Delft, where I live ever since.
Right. So how long ago was that now?
That is already, Julie, 31 years.
Isn't life wonderful? I love the unexpected. You never really know what's around the corner. And I think that's what makes me keep going, you know, even when there are dark moments, is you never really know what's going to be around the corner and what's going to develop into something else. Anyway, that's a lovely start. So, Darina, how did you come across feng shui to start with?
It used to be my hobby before it came my work. And that is an interesting thing, because I studied building physics, and a friend of mine, architect in Switzerland, I was visiting her, and she had the book about feng shui in her book library. And because I had no books with me, I took it out and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I'm going to read a few pages before I fall asleep. And then I started to read and I read, and I really liked it. And I told her, can I borrow this book from you? She said, yes, of course. It's really interesting. Read it. And that's how it all started.
So again, synchronicity, yes. Right? It sort of came on your path. So then you decided to study it more in depth?
Yes. First, it was for years. It was my hobby, where I tried to do little things in my home, where during my study of it, I understood that what I did was all wrong.
Yes, but yeah, somewhere,
on a certain moment, I left the job that I was working, and I decided to take a break, year sabbatical, and that was the year when I went to dance tango in Buenos Aires and learn in Argentina. But it was for me also very valuable time to reflect and to decide to take another job and to do something what I really like and what it is, what I really like, what I could have the passion for. And I discovered that this feng shui is really fascinating me. Plus, I have a technical background in civil engineering, building constructions. So these two disciplines are not so far from each other as it seems. They're actually basically about the same. And that is indoor climate of the buildings and focus on health and well-being of the people who work and live there. So that was my study about physical values. And this is more Eastern philosophy. But yeah, how to make it my work. So I had to find a good education, or not only training or a course or a workshop, but really something that would provide me with a certificate and good base knowledge about the philosophy and also the fundament to be able to do it as a practitioner.
Right.
So that was the search. And then I found one in Holland, 1 year certificate, full-time, in-person, local examination, everything perfect.
Perfect. Right. Now let's look back then one step. What is feng shui?
Feng shui is beautiful Eastern philosophy about the influence of our surroundings on our emotional, physical, and mental well-being. Right. So everything that surrounds you in your space.
And we all know instinctively that that is true, right? Yeah. Sometimes we feel happy somewhere, we can't really define why. And sometimes we're uncomfortable somewhere and there's something which doesn't feel right. So it's how we're influenced by the environment around us. And yeah. So what is that? Is that the architecture? Is that the colors? Is that even the furniture?
Everything. It's even the location of the house, where it is, even how you approach the front door. So how you get to the house, so where the house is located, whether it's a busy city, end of the street, on the square where there is a view and a little lake or a river, is there a mountain behind? Is it in a countryside, outside? That is the first thing, because we know there is a big difference. Then it's a construction of the house. Right. Which, does it have 3 floors, 2 floors? Is it wide? Is it a bungalow where you can breathe?
Yes.
Because you have a space and we are all different. So Feng Shui also deals with the different needs of different people because we have also different personal energy elements. So what works for you does not need to work for somebody else. So some people are very happy to live in a penthouse above on the 15th floor. Some people need grounding. Some people need bungalows where they feel really good and nurtured. So that is all. Then we have a space. We have windows, doors, enough light coming in, how the energy flows, colors, materials that make us cozy cocoons, or materials that are trendy, modern, struck, like we say in Dutch, or, you know, very, very, very neat and orderly. That's all
these things
have influence on how we feel in a space.
So it's so important for us to know. And I mean, okay, I mean, in an ideal world, then you would know. So you would know that, if I understand well, then the general precepts, as in the general, the fundamentals, and then it's tailor-made to your own personal energy and person. So in an ideal world, we would be able to design the house or the flat where we want. Now, okay, that's not available for everyone. However, if we say that, okay, you know, this is where we're living now, and for the foreseeable future, we can't move to what's actually even better for us, you know, a stunning house with loads of garden around it by the sea, we can still then, on a personal level, we can still adapt what's in the house, right? So which colors or where we put our bed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is what I do most often, help people to create the balance in harmony in their current living space where they live. So they experience something, like you said, there can be various things, not sleeping well, not being able to concentrate, just not feeling at home.
Yes.
So have a nice house. I just don't feel at home, or I feel this or that room. Nobody wants ever to go there.
Right.
And we don't know what to do. And everybody's gathering in the kitchen, or, you know, there are different things that people struggle with, and also like creativity, because Feng Shui can also help with sparking creativity.
Oh,
also having feeling more flow in a life, because it's very much connected with the concept that qi, that is Chinese name for vital life force, vital energy, is free flowing in your home. That is the condition. So it's free flowing. Like, imagine that there is this life force of water coming in your home, and it's free flowing everywhere, and it's feeding every corner of your home with this life force, with opportunities, good things, luck, everything good out there come to your home, and your home is fed with it. But if there is a stagnation, blockage, it's like with a personal energy, then it cannot flow.
Yeah, yeah.
And we experience stagnation in our life. We experience different kind of things that can manifest itself even in the relationship, even in your life path or career or relationships within your family. It can, it's possible, because energetically in your space is not feeding you with the energy you need. And that is what we are looking at in Feng Shui. So it's not only about beautifully Zen minimalistic spaces, because minimalistic spaces are good, but often we have to be careful that they are not missing the spark and yes. fire.
Yes,
and
because sometimes it can be very
humor, joy of life, inspiration. Yeah.
Because it's not for everybody. I remember a friend of mine when I was a lot younger, they had a really a stunning house. And I remember, you know, the sitting room was all like white leather, but none of us dared ever even sit in there. It was cold. It was really, really cold. It was very minimalist and very designed. But yeah, I suppose it's, as you said, it's also personality. So one is the physical, the chi then, as you say, it needs to flow and not be obstructed, and it needs to nurture the environment. Yeah. But at the same time, there's also then the personality, you know, where do you feel comfortable? What I love about Feng Shui then is it puts absolutely everything together. We're talking about a 50 plus audience. You know, we're starting to have a little bit of an understanding of what makes us feel good and what doesn't. I mean, I know that light and perspective are hugely important for me. I can be in a small flat, which is actually where I am now, quite small compared to some of the huge places I've lived in. But I have a huge view, a very deep view over all the roofs of the Staatenquartier. And I feel good here. I can really breathe. So, I mean, lots of us have a bit of an idea of where we feel better. And, you know, we're told about colors, to be careful what colors you have in your bedroom. Some are more conducive to a peaceful sleep, and some are more, you know, stimulating. But the fact that you can literally put everything. So, I mean, are we talking about literally, you know, where to put your plant or what sort of plant you should have as well?
Yes, of course. You just mentioned light. Light is a source of energy for all human beings. It's very important. Natural light, and enough of natural light, gives us the energy and vitality. If there is not enough, then we get tired, eh? The second is plants and green things, so not artificial ones. They are a source of energy in the space. And of course, yes, where you put them.
Right.
Which is a good place for the plant itself, that she gets enough natural light. Every plant needs a different care. But also from interior design point of view and from Feng Shui, we can place the plant where we need the energy to be vital, green nature and wood element as we use it from the concepts and fundamentals of Feng Shui, where it represents wood element and energy of growth and health and optimism that goes up. Whereas in other parts of home, we need energy that is earth, grounding, giving us security, stability, peace, calm. So we play with these elements in our home, so they are all in balance.
Right.
Fire, which gives us humor, self-expression to outside, and we have water connecting with emotions, intuition, energy, the instincts. We need all these elements being represented in our space. And then
they should teach this at school. I mean, it sounds like something which can have a profound influence on how we feel. And I mean, you know, you mentioned things like sleep and not feeling blocked or stressed, etc. I mean, this would be a wonderful way to, you know, instead of reaching immediately to medicine and, you know, all sorts of therapies. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but I mean, if we can start with finding a natural way around all of this just by agencing. But so how does it work? I mean, a client comes to you and says, you know, so either let's say, okay, I'm moving into a new place, will you come and help me make sure that this is what I need, or an office? Is that how it works?
Yes. Most recently, I had a lot of clients who were moving to a new space, a new apartment or a home. And they thought, okay, this time I have heard about it. I followed a workshop of Darina, or I read something. Now I want to do it right. I want to explore the possibilities of Feng Shui. So we make appointments. But beforehand, I always ask for the floor plan, drawings, good drawings, and maybe a little video of the space. Then I make my own analysis, which I make based on the Bagua and the fundamentals of Feng Shui, where I really need to analyze the qi flow before I go to the space. So that's my part, which I do at home. And I prepare the questions because I can see already a lot. That's experience. That's yeah. The study I did. I can see a lot from the floor plan already. So I prepare my questions, how they plan or want to use their space.
Yes,
because
right.
It is not me who is
going to
tell them what to do. It's a mutual discussion. I help with advice because it's not my place that
you don't have to live there, right? Yeah.
They need to feel well. It's about their needs. It's about my client's wish, need, and also how they want to live their life in a space. They want this space to be a nest, or they want to invite a lot of friends.
Right.
They want to make one room a studio, yoga studio. How they want to, how you say, form the life in their apartment, because right. you form by designing your space, you're designing a bit of happiness of your life for the future.
Yeah.
If you do it conscious way, yeah? So this is what I help them. And then I go there, we meet, and then we go around the space and we make choices, what things they, or what furniture, what pieces and things they want to take with them. And then we talk about the colors and the plans, how to place, which rooms, how they are going to use the rooms, which room is the best as a bedroom, which room is the best for a child or
yeah.
for a work home, how to arrange it, to make the consequences, to make the choices, considerations, all these things are important to think of before you just prop everything in the home.
Yeah, exactly. May as well start properly if you're talking about a new home. But you can also come, like I can invite you around to my place for you to say, well, okay, you know, here in your bedroom, I think this and that. And then you use, you know, what's already there and you change it around and maybe add a plant or, you know, change your bed's direction and things
yes.
like that as well.
Yes, exactly. But I talk to you.
Because
when I come to your bedroom, I'm going to ask the questions why you make certain choices.
Yes.
Because the choices you make reveal a lot about you. So it's the energetical change we are talking about. It's not only styling.
Yes.
Change also, you know, it's like a awareness of what I do, why I place my bed like this. So we try to, what about this? And then I will explain what may be a better position of your bed, what may be good to take out of your bedroom, what may be good to change. Sometimes it can be just like 3-4 changes.
Yeah.
And you will see what happens. Eh? And I see things, of course. If I see an cluttered room, I also ask if I may look under the bed.
Right. Oh dear.
Space, a storage space under the bed. And I find there skiing equipment, shoes, and administration, and all this kind of stuff.
Which, and that's not good.
Is not good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You struck a chord there. I mean, most Dutch places are quite small. So yes, I think I have quite a lot in my boxes under my bed. Right. Okay. Right. We're going to have you over. Right. For those of you, so basically you do this physically, right? For the people listening who are elsewhere in the world, they can't actually use your services. You don't have something online, right?
Yes, of course. Yes. Before Corona, I didn't. I could not imagine how to do it. But because of Corona, we all have to be inventive. And so I also offer consultation online, and I did. I had clients from Cyprus. I had clients from Cape Town, from South Africa, from Slovakia, my home country, because I help them. So how it works is we set up online a session, and we talk like this together with you. Be upfront, I receive the floor plan. I make a drawing on it. I upload it in my Zoom. I have a special features in my Zoom so I can draw. So we look at it and I draw on the floor plan, like, tell me about this. And then I receive the photos. And sometimes I ask people, take your laptop, walk around, show me this.
Oh, how fascinating.
And then we can go a long way. I can help them a lot and support a lot. I even had a client from Jakarta helping her with the arrangement of her new apartment in Jakarta, which was a really exciting project because you are in a tropical climate. So we need to work with different materials.
Yeah.
So that's
fantastic.
How it works.
But isn't it wonderful that we can, and of course, yes, why not? I mean, nowadays with everything that we have discovered since Corona, you know, the technological tools are a lot better for us to do that. Right. Now, let's say, you know, I always ask my interviewee to share 3 tips for those who cannot or need to wait a bit before they get hold of you and use your services. What 3 tips, knowing that, of course, everybody is unique, what 3 tips would you share with the audience talking about using Feng Shui to create this harmony and balance in your surroundings?
Yes. Now I need to choose carefully. So the practical application could be the best to start is indeed the bedroom. Because good sleep is foundation of good health and happier frame.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
That is totally. So what there can be different reasons why we don't sleep well. But if the space is not inviting us to calm down easily and relax, then is the time to look at it. So it means all things that are related with physical activity and with young energy, which is dynamic, active energy, according to philosophy, young, everything out of the bedroom. So no fitness equipment, no office desks, please. No two books are allowed, but not two large libraries, because they all these books are inviting to be read. Yeah. And all this goes in our mind, subconscious mind. So look at the images you have in your bedroom. Your bedroom represents an intimate relationship with yourself and your partner. Right. So it's good, it's nice when it is a romantic place. So use the materials, soothing colors, peaceful atmosphere. Try to create that. And also look at the night tables, what you store in your night tables.
Gosh,
a lot of medicines that are in the night tables. I would put them in some other place, not right to your head, because everything what is around your head while you sleep.
So maybe in a drawer. Can you put it in a drawer in your night table? I'm just busy thinking of mine. And of course, Fabulous After 50. So I've got a thing for my arthritis toe. I've got a mouth guard for when I bite down too much. I've got earplugs. I've got books.
These are good things. They're really
okay. Because I don't keep a lot of things on my, but it's, maybe I can put them in the drawer, you know, that would already clear that space around.
And also what is important is that your head is protected. So sleep with a best is the supporting wall or a headboard, a soft headboard. So everything around your head is important. Never sleep in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I couldn't. Oh, gosh, I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Sometimes I see these cupboards where there is a lot of art, very heavy vases, which is above you.
Oh, yeah. Right,
like, you know, the bed is like a niche. It can create a very heavy feeling.
Yeah.
Not heavy chandeliers hanging above,
right above your head.
Threatening you and thinking like, when is it going to fall down on me?
Yeah. No, okay, no, but that all makes total sense. But we don't always think about that. I mean, I know quite a few people who have, you know, very large lamps above their bed, beautiful designer lamps, but I can imagine that you are still sleeping under a potential danger, right? There's something looming over you. Okay, right. So as quiet as possible in your bedroom. What else do you have?
Yeah, for example, there are good tips for your office desk, because it influences your performance and concentration. So how you sit. Position yourself in the room. If you have a workspace, is your own workspace is important. What are you looking at? You mentioned that in the beginning, Julie. So important that you have a view. Something which helps us when we are looking, when we have a space in front of us, it helps us to develop a vision for the future. Dreams, dream big, be able to see further things. Some artists are using it a lot, but we don't need to be artists in order to have a nice view. Also, again, supporting wall behind you gives you the feeling of support and gives you a powerful position. Your desk should be stable, big, no glass, really good material and big enough, not small.
Yes.
Be careful so you sit there in a commanding position that gives you the power and control over your space and over your work, so you can adequately react on everything that comes your way. Whereas if you sit with the back, everything around you, you can be surprised by somebody coming from.
But isn't it weird that they don't think of that? I mean, I work at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs a few days a week. And, you know, they have these open space environments. So lots of the desks are like right in the middle of the room. Now, I've always known that about me. I don't do well in the middle. I always need, you know, even like in cocktails. I mean, it's happened that I've actually fainted before in the middle of a room. I just get very uncomfortable. Something has to have my back, right? I can be great on stage. It's not that I'm shy or anything, but I need something at my back. But I was
thinking, you just expressed it. You need something.
Yeah, to have your back, right?
Yes.
But I was thinking, no one has invented these things, you know, because, I mean, let alone, okay, we're all different. But, I mean, I see and I hear my other colleagues. It takes them, first of all, a long time to settle down when there's all this hole behind you. But also there's constantly people walking past. You know, we're still, we haven't evolved that much that we don't think that there might be a danger coming. You know, okay, less chance of it being a saber-tooth tiger now. But still, our reflexes are still to be aware of what's coming from behind us. So then I think, you know, all these people and organizations who've invested a huge amount of money in this internal landscape of their offices, they just didn't think of people at all. They thought of a practical usage of space, but not of how does it feel and how productive are you then when you turn around every 2 seconds because somebody's walking behind you.
Exactly. And these people, research show that people who sit in this way, they are more influenced by stress. So easily to end up in a burnout, really, because instincts, you are alert. You are in the state of stress alert because unconsciously you don't know, but you are.
I totally agree.
Yes. But the offices, I can tell you that the offices nowadays, especially after Corona, but also last 3 years, are paying a lot more attention to how they arrange the space. More plants are coming to the offices. They divide the space with these either acoustic screens or these things that people have more privacy.
Right.
Because acoustic in such open space is also an issue. Eh?
Definitely.
Because if everybody is talking, how is your concentration?
Exactly.
And you see people. So they pay a lot more attention now.
Well, I think they're going to have to reverse a lot of stuff that they've paid a fortune for already. But anyway, it's going in the right direction. Okay. And your third tip?
And my third tip is think images and symbols and artworks that give us inspiration.
Right.
So what we have around us on the wall, really, symbols and images are important. Is it how it makes you feel when you choose art? Well, why you chose that piece of art? What does it represent? How it makes you feel? And in which area of your home is it? So when we have some pictures in the living room, which is an active room where we all meet, maybe they would not be appropriate in your bedroom.
Right, or in your office.
Right. Or in your office, yes.
Oh, I mean, I think this is absolutely fascinating. I mean, I'm certainly going to look into this a lot more. Thank you very much, Darina, for having shared your expertise and these tips. These are tips that we can all put into practice straight away. And, you know, we're talking about life comes with what it comes with, right? We never really know what's coming. And we're talking about making it the best that we can. So if we're aware of these things that you're talking about with Feng Shui, we can already influence that. And that will make us stronger, more resilient to cope with the things that we maybe cannot control. So first of all, before we end this, can you, for those who are listening, maybe in the train or the bus, etc., where can people get hold of you?
I have my website, which is www.fengshuidesign.nl. So I have it in Dutch and in English. But if you Google Darina Feng Shui, you will find me.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, there we are. Well, I mean, I know for one, I'm going to have you over for a coffee and then maybe you can take a little look around and tell me a few things that I could change already. Thank you very much for being with us here today. For the rest of you out there, pay attention, listen to what Darina said, and already the things, even if you're not ready yet to throw yourself entirely into studying Feng Shui or taking a professional like Darina to help you agents your environment, think about what she said already, you know, about the bedroom, take out all the sports stuff, the huge libraries, etc., as much as possible, right? Make it quiet and soothing. What is your desk made of, etc.? And what art do you have around you in each different room, knowing that there will be a different need depending on rooms? Darina, thank you very much. And yes, here's to making the space around us harmonious and balanced so that we can be the happiest we can be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julie, for having me. And I wish all the listeners harmony and balance in coming weeks.
Thank you, Darina.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.